Now joining us is Gambletron, who will be at the Alana State Historic Site Saturday, September 19th from 1 to 5 p.m. With John Cleeter, Brian DeWan, Tyson Hoff, Bernard Klug, Lovid, Douglas Repetto, and Quintron for Groundswell this Saturday, September 19th at the Alana State Historic Site. And Gambletron, you're going to set up a radio theremin of some sort?
Yes.
How is that going to work?
Well, there's this old trick where you can take three AM radios and...
Three
of them.
Is the magic number.
Yeah. And you take the three radios and you designate one the controller, and then the two others are going to create a note. And you need three for this to work. Three, or in my case, or more, because I'm using like 40 radios as of right now, if not even maybe more than that. But okay, so the two that make the note, there's this magic of fine-tuning that goes on. And it works best in the upper areas of the AM channel, and you tune these two radios until you hear something that is like a blip or like a silence. There's like fuzz, and then you hear like shoo, something like that. And then with the third one, you do a small electronic augmentation, very easy thing. You don't even need to solder on the back of the radio. Where you go inside every radio, there's like a little square tuning square. I call it the little square tuning square because I'm not very electronically minded. I believe it's some sort of it's what tunes the radio. So what is
it's
that?
It's not circular. Usually, something you tune or move is like round, so you can move it, but it's square.
On the circuit board, it's square.
On the circuit board, it's square.
Yeah, it's always a big square box on the circuit board. More. In old radios especially, and it has a bunch of different attachments on each corner. And what you do is you search around and you turn that radio to like a radio station. You search around and you touch it until it goes out of tune, and your body as a resistor goes and touches it, and it's like, ooh, goes out of tune. Then you attach the antenna to that spot, and then okay then you made your controller, and you have your three radios. And essentially what happens is when they're tuned properly, you get a note. It's like a boo, like a sign note. I can't, it's too early for me to imitate my radio. Beep, like something really straight up. And you can tune that note really high or really low, or you can tune it to like a silent place when you place all three radios. And what happens is when you go up to the controller radio, it is a theremin. Your body, then you can control the note by getting closer and further to and from the antenna. So this is the old trick. You can look this up on YouTube. There's like an old German man that tells you how to do it with schematics and everything. And then so I got obsessed, and I happened to have done a huge project with a lot of boom boxes, and I had a lot of radios. So I started adding in radios and my whole art practice now, well, not all of it, but most of my art practice has been like how to extend the AM theremin, the theremin radio. And instead of just having one note, what's going on at this point is I have one controller radio, and every two radios is a new note. Sometimes I can add in extra radios and get even another layer of a note, but I'm trying to create these like ever-roving, never-ending chords that you can interact with.
And do you explain when you're performing, is it like the theremin is like a X and a Y axis, right? That you...
Usually, yeah.
So is this the same way, or is it just sort of everywhere around it? And are you affecting the radio waves or the light waves, or what are you changing?
Okay, well, this is the sciencey part that I don't fully understand, and I pretend to understand every time I talk about it. Well, first of all, it's not an XY. On a regular theremin, you would usually have like volume control as well. And on this style of theremin, you'll never get that. This is just the note that you get to control. So we'll call it Y. So basically,
you control the pitch of the note?
Yeah, the pitch of the note. Exactly. Yeah, so the closer you get to the antenna, it, depending on how your radios are tuned, it's either going to go higher or lower. The threshold like seems to change like where it goes to silent eventually. Like, there's always a place in the air between the antenna and away from the antenna that makes the note actually disappear. Yeah, it's interesting. I think my understanding is that you're interrupting the like a magnetic field around some capacitor. Blah. But really, yeah, I'm
that,
like
that sounds plausible.
Yeah, maybe it's good to, you know, I've read about it. Like I just, for whatever reason, I find it so much easier to just explain it as magic. And I think that's part of my artistic, you know, my mission statement as an artist too, is not to fully understand what happens when I do it. I do a lot of electronics and have no clue how it works. And as a result, I end up teaching a lot of workshops to other people, being like, I don't really understand this, but apparently this is called, you know, a variable resistor. And if you attach it to like these two points and this happens, you won't die. So, and it's cool. and that's okay. And if I can do it, you can do it. And that's like my bottom line. I'm an old, you know, garbage picking DIYer from Montreal that tries to do things on like low or no budget, and has really, I don't need to know. I like to know. I'm getting there. I can almost talk the talk. But
well, what does the radio theremin have to do with the Alana State Historic Site, or how are you relating the two with this?
Well, to me, the radio theremin is a lot like it's an alarm. It's like a siren. I'm really obsessed with emergency, like states of emergency sounds. And I tour a lot, and I happen to be around for the very last emergency siren ever to go off in Gothenburg. And it just kind of happened. And the friend I was with was like, oh, you'll never believe what's happening today. It's the very last one ever. From now on, it's going to be texts. Everyone's going to get national texts. There's an emergency. But I'm finding this, you know, this is going to be a really general thing, but I'm finding the whole state of colonization and just how, I don't know, I just find like humans taking over it's a very upsetting, the history of the world is upsetting to my brain.
Your performance is about Saturday?
Yeah, a little bit. Like, okay, because there was a lot of talk from Olana about, you know, I'm forgetting his name, Church.
Frederick Church.
You know, and his love for the landscape and the lookout. And I happen to be, I was presented with a really beautiful piece of land looking out over the landscape of the Hudson Valley, I guess. And it, I can see forever. And what sticks out like a sore thumb and all that is all the industrial, you know, energy planty. There's some stuff.
Well, there's a cement plant that, could have become a nuclear power plant. At one point, they wanted to make it that site a nuclear power plant. And then a couple years ago, our current congressman thought was floating that idea again, that we should, yes, let's make it a nuclear power plant.
Oh, but so good.
That got, he was enthusiastic about that for like 2 or 3 weeks, and then he's since shut up about that.
That's smart.
There is a little smokestack though coming out.
Yeah,
up there.
There's something out there, and the man that was showing me around, whose name I'm also forgetting right now, who was very knowledgeable, was explaining all sorts of fights that have been going on with, you know, keeping the landscape looking beautiful, keeping the skyscape, the viewscape, I think he called
it.
Yeah,
Mr. Cuomo wants to put some power lines through the area too, because he thinks that electrical use of fossil fuels is going to increase in the next years, instead of trying to work out some sort of new way to do things that doesn't involve giant power lines.
Power lines are brutal, because they have to, you know, clear cut to put each one
up. Not just seeing it above the trees, it takes down the trees and the vegetation. And
so, you know, here's what I'm hearing from from Olana, and then I'm looking out and I'm seeing little bits of human existence all over the sky, a lot of human. And said and done, we got I feel like I'm setting up a beautiful alarm system. It's going to be a drone at times, a beautiful hum, and at other times, every note that occurs in the theremin roves, it is constantly moving. It goes up, it goes down. So the chord changes. It changes with the wind. It changes with the presence of people. It changes, exactly what affects it, but it changes. It changes in every environment. It sounds totally different. Not totally different, but
In the landscape too. I guess the way the echoes and the reverberations off the landscape is different in a valley as it would opposed to be like on the top of a hill or something.
Yeah, and I'm not even sure like how far it will carry but I like the idea of setting up a bit of metaphorical alarm.
And I guess weather is this year's theme of Groundswell. The many of the pieces have weather influences or participation, and I guess your piece has a little weather participation with wind joining in. And what about people? Are people going to affect it as they walk by? Or?
Yeah, I mean, it depends how close you get or whether I'm interacting. My performance is often, the performance aspect of it, I mean, this is a long duration that this will be happening. So when it's shorter, I kind of... other people don't get a chance to get in there, but because this is, we're going to be running, I think, between 1 and 5, is that?
Yes.
Yeah. That's a good long time, so I think that people are invited to come in the moments that I'm not specifically interacting with the antenna, and it isn't just one clump. I'm hoping to get out there. I mean, I've been preparing all week to have a bunch of smaller clumps and of radios set up on my little plot of land so that we can get also like a surround sound style, like pathway of theremin, perhaps, that people can walk by smaller groups of theremins and play with them. Ultimately, the problem with this art piece is that it requires constant maintenance. Like I literally could easily spend the whole 4 hours running around tuning radios. So I'm very excited. We're at the point of my experimentation. This is going to be the most radios I've ever set out in one spot, thanks to Wave Farm and this residency. I think that the second largest was a residency in Berlin, and then we ended up scrapping the whole, not all of the theremin, but most of the theremin, and making a transmission through all the radios instead, because we were underground in an old building, and all the electrical was heavily affecting everything really badly. It was too,
especially AM too, right?
Yeah, AM's a tough little cookie, and we were doing we did an AM transmission, which with theremin, which is ultimately what I'm doing too. It's just that finally I'm flipping it. I'm making the theremin the spotlight. And the transmission, just, something I can pull out of a hat in times and in moments of... I might even just transmit the theremin back into the theremin. But I'm not really transmitting directly into the theremin either. Experiments have shown that doesn't totally work, which is a little too bad. But I like to transmit just next to the place in the AM frequencies. Just if you just transmit a little bit next door... or you create the theremin a little bit next door, the transmission comes through the oscillation. But there's a lot of playing to be done with that still.
And if you just tuned in, we're talking to Gambletron, who will be at Groundswell Saturday, September 19th from 1 to 5 p.m. at the Alana State Historic Site overlooking the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. Does the piece have a name?
I honestly can't even remember what I called it. What I write to festivals or people when I've only done this a bunch of times where I've actually had to written it down, but I call it in my mind Radio Oscillations. I believe I gave you a different name because I do that.
That's all right. Can you give us a website? We have to go real quick, but can you give us a website if people want more information?
Sure. It's www.gambletron.ca, and you have to click on the stars, and it takes you through to a blog, and one day there'll be a real beautiful website up in that spot.
People can find you also Saturday, September 19th, overlooking the Rip Van Winkle Bridge at the Alana State Historic Site at Groundswell.
Absolutely.